90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for tuning into your local campus and community radio station. This is one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on KDBS. Other programs have titles such as It's About You, This Week in Science, and Radio Parallax. If you'd like to find out more, point your browser at kdvs.org. I've got an exciting show in store for you this afternoon. Kay Dash is here in the studio. She is a poet and essayist. She's an Aggie alumna, and she'll be giving a reading this coming Thursday evening in Roseville that you may be interested in. We're going to hear a few samples of Kate Ashe's poetry. She's an award-winning poet and very active in the Sacramento poetry scene. And then, at about 20 minutes to 6, we'll be joined by Burgess Needle. Burgess Needle is a retired school librarian who's been writing poetry in Tucson, Arizona for more than 35 years. He has a new book out, and we're going to be talking about that book and also about his work as a Peace Corps volunteer. That's at about 5:40. But we're going to start with Kate Ashe, and we're going to talk about the local poetry scene and hear some examples of some great poems. So stick around. Keep it right here on 90.3 FM, KDBS, for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after this important message about the Davis Food Co-op.
This hour of programming is brought to you by the Davis Food Co-op, a 100% member-owned grocery store. The co-op carries local, fair trade, and organic foods, as well as conventional grocery items and natural health and beauty products. The co-op also features a full-service deli, which includes sustainable sushi, hot food and salad bar, custom sandwiches, and fair trade coffee. For more information, you can visit the Davis Food Co-op at 620 G Street in downtown Davis or online at davisfood.coop.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, serving the entire Sacramento Valley. I appreciate you joining me today. Kate Ashe is my first guest today on the program. Kate Ashe is a poet and an essayist writing in the greater Sacramento area. She's also Associate Director of Arts, Humanities, and Writing at UC Davis Extension, where she has the job of coordinating programs such as the Tomales Bay Workshops, the Creative Writing Certificate Program, and the Special Studies Program in Nonfiction Writing, and now online creative writing courses as well. She received her MA in English and Creative Writing from UC Davis, and when she's not writing or talking with writers, you can find her thinking about a new possibility at a Sacramento Poetry Center board meeting, posting new drafts to her online writing group, or chatting at Writers Who Whine. Kate Ashe, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And you didn't put in your bio here that you also keep a blog where you let people know about writing events in the Sacramento area. Like some of my blogs, you're not obsessive about yours, as far as I can tell.
Definitely not.
but why don't we start there? Is that blog, is that yours personally? Is it part of the outreach work that you do through UC Davis Extension?
You know, it's kind of both. It's about a year old already, actually. I think we unveiled it September last year. I get some support through UC Davis Extension in the technology side of it, which is not my forte. But it's actually interesting that you would ask that question. It was originally conceived of, I think, as an outreach, a place of outreach, but I have been encouraged more and more to personalize it. And I struggle with that. I'm so interested in all the different events that are going on in town, and I only publish a few. That's why it's called Kate's Miscellany.
Right.
I just publish stuff that comes to me, emails people send me, things I hear about, things that sound interesting. I try to keep it mostly stuff that's free or very low cost. So there's so much going on that I find sometimes I struggle to get my own thoughts or ideas in there edgewise. But it's also, you know, a question, too, for me of I have a lot of worlds that overlap, and so it's maintaining appropriate space between those worlds when that's necessary so that I can be as available and energetic in each of those roles as I can be all the time, hopefully.
Yeah, I engage in that sort of professional schizophrenia myself.
Yeah.
And so I certainly know what you're talking about in terms of other authors and focusing on the work of people who aren't yourself. For instance, in the past 10 years of this radio show, we've probably heard 1,000 or more poems, but I've only read like 2, maybe 3 of my own poems in all of those years, because I try to make it about others instead of about me, which is a little bit about kind of what you're saying, and that is, how can you, through your focus on Miscellany, how can you represent some of the more interesting projects that other, especially poets, are working on in the Sacramento area?
Exactly, yeah. And as a I have the headphones on now, and I sound different. You know, exactly. And I think people may have noticed there's a lot of poetry on the blog, but I do try to focus on fiction, nonfiction, and other literary-related events. So maybe it's not a reading, but like Writers Who Whine, for instance, which is a social networking event for nonfiction freelance writers. You know, things like that that are indirectly as well as directly supportive of the writing community here in the Sacramento, Davis, and, you know, surrounding areas.
Excellent. Well, people are already interested in you, Kate Ashe, and we've got a phone call, so I'm glad that you're wearing those headphones. You'll be able to hear our first caller this afternoon. Hi, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. What's your name? Oh, your name is Mr. Hang-Up. Mr. Stage Fright. If you have a question for Kate Ashe, you can give us a call here at the studio. It's 530-752-2777 or 530-754-KDVS. So you're giving a reading this coming Thursday evening in Roseville. I have not given many readings in Roseville myself, Is this your first time reading in Roseville?
I think it is, yeah.
All right. So tell us something about this event. Is it in an art gallery?
It is. This event takes place in the Roseville Arts Blue Line Gallery. It's on Vernon Street in Roseville. And I'll be reading with Tim Call, who is a poet from Sacramento as well. And I have several connections to Tim, not the least of which is his membership on the board of the Sacramento Poetry Center as well. The event starts at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's been on the books actually for about 6 months. I heard from John Bowman, who runs the series, back in February and was very honored to be asked to participate.
Sure. And Tim Call is a... one of our stronger local poets. He is really talented, has a lot of energy. He's done some nonfiction journalism about poetry as well, which is really necessary to kind of sustain a local poetry scene. He also will sometimes sing at his poetry readings and do other wacky things. And that sort of wackiness is always appreciated and really necessary if someone's going to get through a poetry reading.
Well, I don't know about that, but
we could debate that. But
yeah,
go on.
I will say that that's something I really appreciate about Tim Call's performances. He really is a poet who performs his pieces in a very incredibly engaged way, actually. And so I think that is always a great reward for audiences.
I think so too. If you want to find out more about the Sacramento Poetry Center, you can visit their website at sacramentopoetrycenter.org. What is your title on the board? Are you a board member?
I am a member at large, I believe.
Excellent. And Tim Call is the vice president.
I think that's right.
All right. And
it's hard to say. He does so much for the Sacramento Poetry Center. I'm never really quite sure how many titles he has.
Right. But if you're willing to serve, the titles are free, I think.
That's true. And, absolutely.
And it's my understanding that whether you're a member at large or a vice president, the salary's about the same.
That, unfortunately, is true.
Yeah. Kate Ashey is my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And we're talking about her work as a poet and as a poetry activist in the Sacramento Valley. I'm sure folks at home would be interested in hearing an example of your work. I want to talk to you more about your preparations to be a poet, especially those here at UC Davis. But why don't you, before we take our first break, why don't you share a poem with us?
Okay. I appreciate what you just said about preparations. So I'm going to start with a piece that I'll read tomorrow as well. It's become a piece that I start most of my readings with. It's a bit of an Ars Poetica, which is a piece that not only is a poem itself, but addresses the production, the creation of poetry, the meaning of poetry, what a poem is. It's kind of doing those things. And so this will be familiar perhaps to one or two listeners out there. This is a poem called Mug, like a coffee mug. Mug, half empty as usual, tapping a pencil on its base, one tone, tap the pencil on the lip, another note, barely one half step higher, but enough for a song.
That's very nice. Kate Ashey is here in the studio. We're going to take a quick break and hear an important message. And then when we return, we'll hear some more of her poetry and find out about what it was she learned from her work here in the Graduate Creative Writing Program at the University of California at Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I have an important message here for you from Amos Metz Rentals. Amos Metz Rentals is proud to join the community blood drive and reminds us that the need for a safe and secure blood supply is now with us. If healthy and qualified, do your part and donate at the hospital or blood bank of your choice. You protect not only yourself, but the community as well. This message is a courtesy of Amos Metz Rentals at 38532 Kentucky Avenue in Woodland. You may reach them at 530-662-5001. They are concerned for the welfare of our community. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. In the second half of the program, we'll be joined by Burgess Needle, a poet living in Tucson, Arizona. Right now, Kate Ashe is here in the studio. She is a Sacramento-based poet who's very active in the Sacramento poetry scene. She's also Associate Director of Arts, Humanities, and Writing at UC Davis Extension. She's going to be giving a reading tomorrow evening in Roseville. Tell me again, Kate, the name of the art gallery?
We'll be up at Roseville Arts Blue Line Gallery. It's on Vernon Street in Roseville.
Excellent. And how does one find your blog if one wanted to read what you had to say about this reading?
Well, you can Google Kate's Miscellany, or if you want to go directly to the blog, it's www.ucdewriting.blogspot.com.
Excellent. And Ashe, for people who are Googling you madly, is A-S-C-H-E. So we were talking before the break about your poetry and your preparations to be a poet. Like me, you've taken creative writing classes with some of the best poets we have in Northern California here at UC Davis. And I'm wondering if you could just say a little bit about the creative writing program, graduate creative writing program here at UC Davis, and what some of the most important things were that you learned from it.
So I would say overall I had a great time in the program here at UC Davis. I was pretty young when I did the program, and so I think that I didn't go in with a lot of specific expectations, which actually ended up benefiting me. I found that my ideas of what a poem could be, what poems could do, what they ought to do, those ideas changed and expanded frequently, especially in the first year, at sort of alarming rates. And so there was a lot of, I felt a lot of aesthetic confusion after my first year, but it ended up being very productive aesthetic confusion. And I would say that by the end of my second year, I had started to emerge from, you know, we have to create a thesis project that's minimum of 45 pages of poetry, new poetry that you write during the course of the program. And my thesis is very strange. I still look back at it, and it's really a mixed bag, but you can see in particular pieces, leanings and obsessions, as well thematically and structurally, as well as characteristics of voice that have become the items, the tools that I continue to work with now. And I'm sure that will change over time. It already has changed, but I think especially about a year after I graduated, so some space in there to let things kind of congeal and settle is when I really started to feel confident that I had found a path that I could pursue for a while. And I will say I have found many of the faculty to continue to be incredibly generous with their time and their involvement in the writing community. And I also have to thank the stars that aligned, as well as Pam Houston, for, you know, going there has led indirectly and directly to the work I do at UC Davis Extension.
Right. Excellent. Yeah, it's satisfying, isn't it? And this happened to me as well, to get a graduate degree here and then to find a niche where you can continue to do good work with many of the same communities that supported you as a graduate student.
So. Definitely. And actually, it's interesting that you would say that, because I would actually... So there were communities that supported me as a graduate student, but something that I think was strange about my time here as I look back on it is how little we knew about what was going on in Sacramento, especially as poets.
Right.
There's so much support there, and, you know, I'm not sure why we didn't know. and I grew up here, so I don't know why I didn't think to look.
Right. Well, that's actually one of the reasons I do this radio show after all these years, and that is when I lived in Sacramento, I interacted with the Sacramento Poetry Center, with the ongoing reading series at Luna's, with other open mics. And then I came here, and there's such a divide. There's such a gulf. And even though it's only like a 15-minute drive, potentially, from Davis to downtown Sacramento, people don't often make that drive. Mm-hmm. And as a result... one of the great things about Davis, which is the lack of sprawl, if this were Southern California, obviously we'd be able to get on one like side street and take it all the way to downtown Sacramento and pass lots of terrible malls and housing developments along the way. So instead, we've got this buffer. However, it has helped to form these different sort of poetic communities. I think part of it is the fact that poets in Davis often defer to the energy that comes out of the university. And a lot of the energy in Sacramento, I think, is more dispersed. And most of the energy comes from the Poetry Center rather than, say, from Sac State. And as a result, different sort of communities are created.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because once I actually found my way to the Poetry Center, I'd heard about it through a couple of different people who I met those people through Davis, but they weren't part of the Davis community. But once I was plugged in there, all these other avenues opened right up because they're all very well connected. And so,
right.
You know, for people who are interested in finding out what's going on in Sacramento in the poetry scene, besides at the Poetry Center, there's the Eskimo Pie website,
right.
And there's, you know, there's of course the Luna series that you mentioned. There's a show, I believe, in Oak Park that I actually just learned about called The Show.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe on Friday nights. I could have that wrong.
So
you start to learn.
That's with Terry Moore. Let me fill in a few gaps here. That's with Terry Moore, and that's often the last Friday of the month. And there's also the Mahogany Poetry series, which, if I remember correctly, is on Broadway. And then Eskimo Pie is eskimopie.net. Spelled just as you'd expect. And that's the pseudonym of a UC Davis employee who has done tremendous work to connect different audiences with her calendar work and her support of local poets.
Absolutely. And now Roseville.
Absolutely.
With the Out of the Blue poetry series, which is the series that Tim and I are reading in tomorrow night.
And that's at 7 o'clock?
That's right, 7 o'clock at Blue Line Gallery in Roseville.
Excellent. Well, speaking of reading, I think people would like to hear another poem. Do you have one there that you could share with us?
Absolutely. I'm trying to decide what kind of mood we're in. So I think I'll take us down a little bit, and then we'll come back up
Sounds
before
good.
We go home. So this is a piece I will share, actually, going back to an earlier topic with, having various different roles in the writing community and when to mix them and when to separate them. I was so thrilled to be asked to read up at Blue Line this month, but also I've been working mostly not on poetry explicitly for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also a challenge to myself to write some new poetry so I would have some new poems to read.
Right.
Because I didn't want to be reading the same old stuff. The work I am doing involves poetry, but it's a multi-genre book-length piece. So the poems, and that's an aesthetic question I'm grappling with. Must the poems be able to stand alone as poems, or are they part of the larger narrative that occurs in something that looks more like a chapter?
Right.
So these are questions that I'm grappling with. But to get myself going, I actually enrolled in one of UC Davis Extension's classes this summer, The Art of Expressive Writing, which is a great class based on a really great method, the Amherst Writers and Artists Method. It's a great way to generate new work. And so I'm going to read from now on, I think tonight, probably all new stuff. So this is a piece called Small Animals. Outside, we are killing small animals. Some die instantly. Some squeak or twitch a little in old-fashioned traps. We can hear them from inside, where we sleep untouched. We dream soft dreams. We're trying to be kind.
That's Kate Ashing. She's a Sacramento-based poet, active in the local poetry scene, and she'll be giving a reading tomorrow evening at Roseville Arts in Roseville, and that's at 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Music for today's show is provided for us by Keith Jarrett. This is Keith Jarrett at the Blue Note. The CD was released on October 10th, 1995. And this particular track is called You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To, earlier we heard Straight No Chaser and Olio. It's from Keith Jarrett at the Blue Note, the complete recordings. We have hundreds and hundreds of jazz CDs down here at KWS. Thousands, if not tens of thousands of records. And music representing every imaginable genre, except for top 40. You won't find that down here. But everything else that you'd want to hear or explore. I mention this because if you'd like to become a volunteer at KDVS, we would welcome that. If you want to find out more, head over to kdvs.org. Poet and poetry activist Kate Ashe is here in the studio, and we're talking about the many hats that she wears as a poet, as a author of multi-genre book-length works, as we were just discussing, and also her work at UC Davis Extension. Not everyone knows about Extension, Kate Ashe, so I'm wondering if you could say just a little bit more about that and if you have any events coming up where people could find out more about the good work that you and others do at UC Davis Extension.
Sure. So UC Davis Extension provides adult and continuing education in a number of fields and areas of interest. And so I have the distinct pleasure and honor of coordinating and running the Arts, Humanities, and Writing Department there, which right now is focused on creative writing and journalistic nonfiction writing. I'm working on a piece of writing that will be published in a UC Davis Extension publication here shortly, that's got me thinking about the larger picture. And, you know, part of why I have come to love this job, which I was very, I didn't think of myself as an office person or as an administrator, so I was sort of terrified of the idea of doing it, but various things conspired and there, here I am, but is the opportunity to serve as a hub for communication and for opportunities for creative and nonfiction writers in the area. And I've really worked to create a resource list on our website and to get our writers, whether they are currently students, might someday be students, or were students in the past, access to groups and information that are going to help them continue along that path. Because I think of our courses as one stop a writer might make on her path toward growing her writing and learning how to share it with the world. If people are interested, we do actually have an event next week. It's on September 1st at 6 p.m. It's in Sacramento, so, you know, for the Davis listeners, you have to get over that divide there. It's at the Sutter Square Galleria, which is the UC Davis Extension Sutter Square Galleria. It's at 29th and K Streets in Midtown Sacramento. The event starts at 6 p.m., and for the first hour, I'll be talking about programs, what's coming up, what's new with our courses. There's also a coupon available for people who attend if they want to use that on a future course. The second hour is very exciting. It'll start about 7:15 and go till 8:30. And it's also free, and we'll be having a panel discussion on the craft and selling of novels.
Wow, that's
so
great.
That's going to be really exciting.
Well, I should say that right after your event, and if someone decided to, she could fit all of this into one evening. Right after your event at 29th and K, one could drive over to Bistro 33, which is 226 F Street, because September 1st is also the date that Danny Romero, who I've seen read at the Sacramento Poetry Center, will be giving a reading at Bistro 33. That begins at 8 p.m. at 226 F Street. And Danny Romero is a poet who was born and raised in Los Angeles, but who now teaches at Sacramento City College. He lives with his son in Sacramento. And his poetry and short fiction have appeared in a great number of journals and magazines and literary publications, including Colorado Review and the Patterson Literary Review, as well as in a great number of anthologies. And he's got a couple chapbooks of poetry out and a novel called Call 10. So he's going to be reading a week from tonight, again, also September 1st, at the ongoing Poetry Night reading series, which is happening this coming 1st of September at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis. If you'd like to find out more, you could visit poetryindavis.com. So a lot to do next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
put your literary cap on and decide how you're going to spend your time, authors. You could work solo or you could work with friends. You've got options. Speaking of authorial intrusions, let's hear another one of your poems before we send you on your way.
Sure. So we'll end with, I don't write a lot of happy things, like classically happy. So this is about as close as it gets. It's pretty happy. And so this one, it's called Lemon Tree. In the backyard, fragrant and whispering, your fruits ripen perceptibly. When winters come, slice them open. Remember the hillside, its room of stone. Wooden shutters the color of citrus leaves. Mornings, terraced gardens in their lace of dry stone walls. Small boats in the harbor. Noise of trains in the station along the Via dell'Amore. Ligurian nights, sour sweet and yellow, held still in our hands.
Tell us again the title of that poem.
It's Lemon Tree.
Lemon Tree. Kate Ashe has been my guest this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. And again, she'll be giving a reading tomorrow night in Roseville at 7. It's at Roseville Arts. And what's the specific blue title of the gallery?
It's Blue Line Gallery. It's part of the Out of the Blue Poetry Series.
Excellent. And that's tomorrow night in Roseville at 7. Kate Ashe, thanks so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, folks, because Burgess Needle will be phoning us here in the studio in just a moment. And I also have some more Keith Jarrett to keep you company while you wait for that exciting event. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy with an important message from the Sutter Medical Center. Sutter Medical Center reminds the women of our community to have screening mammograms at recommended intervals. Today's low-dose mammography can detect tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Don't delay. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have an excellent chance of successful treatment. This message is brought to you by Sutter Medical Center in Sacramento. More information about Sutter Medical Center is available at 916-454-6500, or you can visit their website at www.sutterhealth.org. They care about the health of the people in this community. Keith Jarrett is entertaining us with his piano work in the background. And I'm very pleased to have on the KDBS Live line this afternoon, Burgess Needle. Burgess Needle is a retired school librarian who's been writing poetry in Tucson, Arizona for the past 35 years. Much of his inspiration comes from his time as a Peace Corps volunteer, as a teacher and librarian, and as a resident of what is euphemistically referred to as Midtown Tucson, and the headlines from magazines and newspapers. His work has appeared in the Hiss Quarterly, Black Mountain Review, Concho River Review, Centrifugal Eye, Raving Dove, Poetry Monthly International, Full of Crow, Origami Condom, 13 Minor Birds, Autumn Sky, Gutter Eloquence, I Could Go On and On, Brittle Star, Clockwise Cat, and Flutter. The recently launched Rufus City Review includes one of his poems in their premiere issue, and his short stories have appeared in Black Market Review and Pig in a Poke. His most recent literary criticism has appeared in Future Cycle, where he critiqued the poetry collection Water the Moon by Fiona Z. Lorraine. He's currently editing a journal he kept as a Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand, and he's working on a novel. Burgess Needle, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you, Andy. I really appreciate having a chance to talk with you.
Absolutely. And it's a great opportunity for all of us to hear your poetry. Tell me how it's been that you've been able to balance your life as a teacher and librarian with that of someone who is very prolific as a poet and in other literary arts.
I think what really motivated me to start writing more poetry was a summer seminar I took here in Tucson with the Southern Arizona Writing Project. I think hearing other people read and talk about their own writing creations just spurred me on. And I just didn't need any more motivation than that. I've been writing ever since, whenever I had the opportunity.
Excellent. Who are some of the poets that you look to for inspiration, or who someone might see as influences in your work?
Well, Ruth Stone, of course, is one of my earliest influences. Currently, I really enjoy the Dickman twins, Matthew and Michael Dickman. Both of them have had a lot of poems published in the New Yorker and the American Poetry Review.
Yeah, there was a very nice profile of them in the New Yorker as well, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, those are important names for us to look up. And Ruth Stone, who you mentioned, is also a favorite of mine. Tell me about your writing regimen now. Do you are you thinking always of poems? Do you keep a notebook? Do you force yourself to sit down and write during a certain time of the day? How is it that you keep up with your own poetic goals these days?
My answers would be yes, 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 and and all the time. I'm usually walking around with pieces of paper in my pocket that have ideas jotted onto them that come from anything from newspaper and magazine headlines to movies that I've watched from other poets that I've read. I don't have a particular time of day when I write. If I have the opportunity and the mood hits me, I'll do it. Of course, a lot of time goes into editing the finished product.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Burgess Needle is my guest. He's a Tucson-based poet and novelist. His most recent book is Every Crow in the Blue Sky. And I'm very pleased to have him here on the live line. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Well, Burgess, I think people at home and listening around the world would very much like to hear an example of your verse. Do you have a poem there that you could share with us?
I certainly do, Andy. I'd like to read a love poem. Well, actually, it's a desert love poem. It's titled Ebony Saguaros. The distant city's incandescence, blurred 1,000 galaxies from the Arroyo that night we made love. I was confounded by ebony saguaros that scratched the sky until from behind the princess's silver ball, the heavens bled, stars enough to outline your shoulders against Palo Verde trees and calm the nervous field mice. Love me, love me, love me, I said, unable to fathom reasons enough to ever leave that delirium, that place light touches before it leaves us forever.
Oh, that's very nice.
Thank you.
Is that about a sonnet-length poem, a little bit longer?
Yes, about a sonnet's length, although obviously not a sonnet. I tinkered with more formal verse forms several years ago, but I finally just concluded that, even though I remember Robert Frost once said, writing poetry without form is like playing tennis without a net.
Right.
I just haven't found myself following that philosophy. I'm really more free verse or blank verse.
I remember reading on one of your websites that you write narrative verse as well. And I'm wondering what sort of stories you like to tell in your poems.
Well, as you mentioned about my background, a lot of my poems are based on experiences I had while I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand. And I think those poems especially are in a narrative mode. That is, they set up a scene, they introduce a character, they tell a story, and usually there is some kind of wrap-up in the end, hopefully giving the reader a sense of closure.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break and hear a public service announcement. And then when we return, Burgess Needle, I hope that you'll share another poem with us.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
Many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Listening to the Charlie Parker tune, Now's the Time, played by Keith Jarrett, from Keith Jarrett at the Blue Note, the complete recordings. Keith Jarrett on piano, Gary Peacock on bass, Jack DeJohnette on drums. It's a trio playing such great jazz that I almost didn't want to share with you all that last necessary public service announcement by the late Ricardo Montalban. This is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDBS. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to remind you that a week from tonight, Danny Romero will be reading his poetry. That's September 1st at Bistro 33, 226 F Street. If you want to find out more, you can visit poetryindavis.com. Burgess Needle is my guest this afternoon. This poet is also a retired school librarian who's been writing in Tucson for 35 years. And as we were just talking about, he spent some formative years as well as a Peace Corps volunteer. Burgess, do you have another poem there that you can share with us?
Yes, I do, Andy. As a matter of fact, speaking of Thailand, I'd like to read a poem based on an experience I had when I was teaching in Thailand. The poem's title is Visiting Wasan, and it tells a story about how I finally discovered what Wasan did for a living, visiting Wasan. I arrived early, nothing at first but stunted trees, tall grass, nervous dogs, a few dragonflies, the faint scent of rice paddies. Chewing a wad of betel nut leaves, Wasan caught my eye and smiled, a surprise of red teeth. Cumulus, he said, as I got off my bike. His slick hair had a widow's peak. Low pressure, he murmured. Looked over my shoulder and said, Tondom Savai, take it easy. His friend Bunya arrived, thin, with a smoker's cough and watery eyes. Beneath the scant shade of a guava tree, we chatted and sipped sato. The fermented rice drink was sour, then not so much. Pollen spores blew across my line of sight. Local peppers burned my mouth. Bunya handled a peel cucumber. That was me, drunk beyond belief, fearless to exhibit curiosity. Who are you, really? I asked with intent. My name is Wasan. I am the weatherman. And as if in a trance, I silently asked, Do you know which way the wind blows? Aperitif complete, we floated to Wasan's home. His wife served savory roast pork, fresh morning glory leaves and oyster sauce, mountains of aromatic basmati rice. Outside, fat clouds hid the moon. Now it comes, said Bunya, as humid breezes enveloped us. Likely precipitation, I murmured. Tenderly, soft drops kissed each of us, brothers in the rain.
Oh, that's very beautiful. I love the way, as you mentioned at the start, that you place particular characters in what to most readers or listeners would be an unfamiliar setting, and then present a series of discoveries as well as delightful images.
Yes, it's interesting how many years have to pass before the original experience ends up being turned into a poem, but that's how it works sometimes.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, this is KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, serving the Sacramento Valley. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Burgess Needle is my guest today, and he is a retired school librarian who spent much of the last 35 years in Tucson, Arizona, writing poetry and in other forms. He's currently editing a journal he kept as a Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand and also working on a novel. So how would you characterize the poetry scene, if any, there in Tucson, Arizona?
Oh, the poetry scene in Tucson, Arizona is absolutely outstanding. We have a wonderful poetry center, which just moved into a new building right in the middle of the site of the University of Arizona campus. There are a lot of poetry readings going on in the local coffee shops, and there are venues within the University of Arizona itself. So as far as poetry goes, Tucson is really a hopping town.
Excellent. And in terms of your own work, Do you try to attend many readings? Do you try to share? Do you share at open mics? Do you, are you often featured there? What is your own role in the local poetry scene?
I haven't given very many poetry readings, but when I do, I find that invariably I come away with ideas of my own and find myself getting excited all over again about poetry. I think I just wish there were more people out there who would take a chance and go to a poetry reading and find out it's a lot more interesting than they might have thought.
I agree with you. Well, we're just about out of time, Burgess. Do you have a short poem that you could share with listeners this afternoon?
Fairly short. Maybe I can get about halfway through it.
Oh, you go ahead and read it. We'd like to hear it.
Okay. This is a Tucson poem. It's called Grandfather Antonio. Alfredo said, "Let me tell you, my grandfather Antonio is one weird dude. Twisting and turning, the tale came out how the old man and his friends never forgot their birth city, Hermosillo. Truth is, he got to where he is by walking. Man, he covered it all, right through Sonora, trailing funerals. Menudo, free booze. He'd hit a town, find out if anyone had died, and go over for the wake. All the women in luto outside, while the men passed mezcal and watched a fire. Then back inside to sit and drink some more. Alfredo's mother said, Tata didn't walk here. He waked here. That's when Antonio himself limped into the room. And when I asked him about that, he told me of a wake in Bahia Kino when the new corpse twitched and stared, he thought, at him, making him drop his glass and leap out a window badly. My leg never healed, he grimaced, so I still limp to this day. I hardly ever drink mezcal, and I never, ever go to wakes."
That's delightful. We've been hearing the poetry of Burgess Needle on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. He's the author of Every Crow in the Blue Sky and other poems, and he's an important part of the poetry scene in Tucson, Arizona. Burgess Needle, it's been a pleasure to have you on the radio show. I'm glad that this time worked out for you, and thanks so much for sharing your poetry with my listeners.
Thank you. I'm glad I had the opportunity, Andy. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care now.
Thanks.
Well, we are just about at the end of another hour of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my guests. We just heard from Burgess Needle, who is a Tucson-based poet who's published poetry and other forms of writing in a great number of journals here in the United States, as well as in the UK and India. If you want to find out more about his work, you can Google Burgess Needle, B-U-R-G-E-S-S-N-E-E-D-L-E, and you'll see some of the websites that he has set up. I'd also like to thank Kate Ashe, who joined us for the first half hour of this program. Kate Ashe is going to be giving a reading with Tim Call, both of them representing the Sacramento Poetry Center in a way. Both of them reading tomorrow evening in Roseville at Roseville Arts. That's at 7 p.m. in the city of Roseville. And if you'd like to find out more, you can head over to one of the many poetry calendars available in the Sacramento area, such as at sacramentopoetrycenter.org or eskimopie.net. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'd like to remind all of you that Danny Romero of Sacramento will be reading a week from tonight at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis. And I will be back next Wednesday, as I've done every Wednesday for the last decade, to provide you more poets, more poetry, and on occasion, talk about technology. All the things that you've come to expect when you tune in to KDBS on a Wednesday afternoon to hear Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around for some great music, and I'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.